So Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 7, says, "He that is Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if in any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." May God add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his holy word. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your holy word for our instruction and edification. Guide and bless our study this morning that we might learn more of our Lord Jesus Christ and learn how he sends out his disciples into the world. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.
2,000 years ago, human history had arrived at a great turning point. The Greek culture and language had begun to be spread after Alexander the Great's conquest that began 300 years before Christ. Then came the period after that of the great Roman Empire, a time of peace and prosperity that began in 27 BC under Caesar Augustus, called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. The Roman military might and their engineering skills and roads and bridges made travel safe and fast on the Roman roads all across their vast empire. So it was the perfect setting for the introduction of new ideas and even a new religion. The Jewish nation of Israel, on the far eastern shoreline of the Mediterranean Sea, had fallen to Rome under the Roman general Pompey in 63 BC. But what the great world empires were doing and the great generals were doing in history could not stop what God planned to do in fulfilling the prophecies in the Old Testament and sending a deliverer to his people, in sending the anointed one of God, that is the Messiah or the Christ. Galatians 4, verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law." So at just the right time in human history, God sent forth his Son, the one who had been at his side for all eternity. And God sent him to the earth. He sent his Son, who was as fully God as he, and he sent him to earth to be born as a full Jewish male of a virgin named Mary. So he grew up in a small village in northern Galilee called Nazareth. At the age of 30, he burst onto the Jewish religious scene as a prophet, mighty in word and deed. We read earlier in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, "Now after John," that is John the Baptist, "was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" So the Messiah announced his arrival in the beginning of his ministry. So the kingdom of God was near at hand because the king had arrived in human history and he had begun his public ministry. John the Baptist, his cousin, had been preaching in the wilderness, urging the people of Judea, Jerusalem, to repent of their sins and to prepare themselves for the coming of the one who would baptize in the Holy Spirit. So the anointed king had now arrived. And one of the first things he did after beginning his public ministry was to call a certain group of men to be with him as his disciples, men who he would teach and train, men who would learn what it is to be a true, godly, pious, and humble man by associating with Jesus Christ every day. We know that he called some fishermen from around the Sea of Galilee. There was Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John. And he told these four fishermen, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And so they went with him. And they watched him as he healed people, as he taught people. And then we read in chapter 3 of Mark's gospel that he went up on the mountain, verse 13, and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him. He called them and they came. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might, number one, be with him. And number two, he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. So the first thing he called them to was just to be with him, to hang out with him, to observe him in his interpersonal relationships and actions. And then he sent them out with a preaching ministry. He didn't waste any time putting them into service. They're even given authority to cast out demons. He put them into on-the-job training. They were apprentices. They learned from the master the way to do things. I was a carpenter apprentice one time for about a year. I worked with a man who was an experienced carpenter, and he taught me some things about carpentry. On-the-job training. And so they learned from Jesus how to preach the good news of God about the coming of the kingdom of God. And they were even given authority over evil spirits. We've seen in Mark's gospel how in their association with Jesus, they saw him calm the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Terrified them, but it didn't shake him up. They saw him give peace of mind to the Gerasene demoniac. He was completely healed. They saw him heal this woman with the discharge of blood for 12 years. She reached out in faith and was healed. And we learned about how he healed the synagogue ruler Jairus' daughter, 12 years old, who was at the point of death. Actually, she had died. And then last time, we saw that when he went back to his hometown in Nazareth, people didn't believe him. They wouldn't accept his ministry. They didn't believe he was the Messiah or some special prophet. He was just one of the homeboys. They knew his family. And so they rejected him. Well, however, we read right after that in Mark 6, verse 6, at the end of the verse, he went about among the villages teaching. So his rejection by his hometown people didn't shake him up too bad. If it did, he recovered quickly. And he went about and continued his ministry. Well, he went out and he preached in the villages around there. He came to preach and teach. He was sent by God the Father to preach, to teach, and to heal. And it was of great necessity that God the Father sent him out. Why was it such a great necessity? Well, it's because of the lostness of the people. They didn't really know God. They hadn't been born again spiritually. They were lost in sin and separation from God. They were helpless. They were enslaved to their sin. They were ignorant. Much ignorance about God and His way of salvation. And then they were ignorant about the Savior, the greatness of Jesus Christ. So it was imperative that God sent His Son to earth to teach these things, to explain to people how they stood before God and how they could come to know God through faith in Him. And so, to accomplish His mission, Jesus, being incarnate, one man, knew that He was going to need help. He was going to commission others to accomplish the goal of spreading the good news of the coming of God's kingdom. So He called these men to Himself and put them into training. Verse 7 of chapter 6 said, He called the 12 and He began to send them out two by two. So He didn't send them out one by one for several reasons, because the Bible says that two witnesses establish a fact as being true. And then, naturally, it's better to have somebody supporting you and helping you and encouraging you in a ministry and not just doing it yourself. We need the wisdom and encouragement of others. So He sent them out two by two. And it says, He gave them authority over unclean spirits. So, He had cast demons out of people, and He commissioned His disciples to have the same authority over evil spirits. He shared this authority with them. So, if Peter was out in a village and some demon-possessed man was carrying on over there, he could go over there and cast the demon out of that man and set him free. And so they ministered in this way. So He sent them out with several things. The first thing, if I can call it a thing, is authority. He sent them out with authority from Christ. And then, secondly, He sent them out with dependence. Now let me tell you what I mean by that. Let me read the verses 8 and 9. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. Tunics are a piece of clothing, maybe something like a shirt. And He said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. So He sent them out with just the bare necessities, like the clothes on their back. And so they were dependent. They weren't independently wealthy. They didn't have a big bank account they could draw on. So they had to depend on God. And they had to depend on people's mercy and kindness. Some of them had probably been successful fishermen. They were used to having a good living, buying whatever they needed when they wanted it. But not on this mission. Jesus sent them out so that they would have to depend on God, and they would have to depend on people's kindness. Well, that's a good place to be for many of us. Not to be self-sufficient in our own strength and wisdom, but to be dependent on God and His provision and His guidance. And He says, the scripture says in verse 11, if any place will not receive you and they'll not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that's on your feet as a testimony against them. So, the third way He sends them out is with a message of judgment for those who reject the gospel message. Now, it's a little clear here. We have two parallel passages in Luke 9 and Matthew 10, which relate these same events, but they actually give more detail than Mark's account. So we learn, for example, in Matthew 10, verse 14, Jesus says, If anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Now, you know, shaking off the dust means like you're going to get rid of the pollution, the spiritual pollution that you may have picked up by being among these unbelieving people who are rejecting the gospel. It's a symbolic thing. But it spoke a message. So he said, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. So this is serious business. The fact that these people in these particular towns rejected the gospel meant that there was a terrible judgment day coming for them. So he sends them out with a message, a warning about judgment for those who reject the gospel. And then fourthly, he sends them out to a particular target group. All right, in Matthew 10, we also read, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus is telling them, I want you to focus on only one ethnic religious group, your own people, the Jewish people. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Only go to the Jewish people. Well, that's what they did, as far as we know. Why was this? Well, it's because God and history had revealed himself to only one nation, tribe of people in the history of the world. That is the Hebrew or the Jewish people. He gave his revelation of his word to them. He promised that a descendant of Abraham and of David would be the Messiah who would save his people from their sins. And so they were acquainted with the coming of the Savior. And the Savior had arrived, and they needed to know about it. That the scriptures that they had adhered to and read to for centuries were now being fulfilled. The time had come. So they needed to know first. There was a priority to the Jews first. Well, so he sent them to a particular target group of people. And then fifthly, he sends them out with something else. He sends them out with a message. Verse 12 says, they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. Now, we know that there's more that they proclaim than just repentance. Because when Jesus began his ministry, as we read in Mark chapter 1, it says, he came proclaiming repentance and belief in the coming of the kingdom of God. So these two things really go together, repentance and proclaiming the kingdom of God. I think it might be important to point out that Mark, he only mentions repentance. And I think one reason may be here because of the importance of repentance. Repentance focuses on the fact that mankind, humanity has great needs. And there's a great separation between the holy God and sinful people. This is a very serious situation. And something radical has to happen. Humanity has to recognize our sins. We have to turn from it. We have to turn to Christ, to God. Well, the message was, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Luke 9:2 says, he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. So there was a message that they proclaimed as well as a ministry that they did. They did actual practical healing of the human body, at least the Spirit of God through them did. So they were replicating, they were imitating, they were expanding the ministry of Jesus through their own efforts. Well, another thing he sends them out with. He sends them out with power. Okay? Not just authority, but with power. It says in verse 13, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So it takes power to deal with the forces of evil and to deal with sickness of the human body. You know, when that woman reached out with a discharge of blood, Jesus felt power. He felt power go out of his body. So the power of God is necessary to deal with evil and with sickness. And God had granted them this power. Not as much, of course, power as he had, but to some degree, they were given authority and power to do these kinds of ministries. So, Jesus appointed the 12 disciples, and he sends them out, even as the Father had sent him out. He sent them out with authority, with dependence on him, on God. He sent them out with a message of warning, judgment. He sent them out with a message of the coming of the kingdom of God, to repent, to believe the gospel, and he sent them out with power. Well, in a similar way, what about us? How does this relate to us? He sends us out also. He sends his people out. He sends us out with authority. Now, he sends us out in order to bring people in. Because so many people, most of the people in the world are outside the kingdom of God. They don't know about Jesus. Maybe they might have heard his name somewhere. But they have no personal relationship with Christ. So messengers have to go out and tell them what God has done in the history of the world in sending his Son. So there we today are sent with the authority of Christ. Now, our own authority is not much, but the authority of Christ is a whole lot. You remember, of course, in Matthew 28, in that initial bestowment of authority, Jesus told his disciples to go make disciples of all the ethnic groups, all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus sent them out with under his command, with his authority, to teach his word and his promise to be with them. So they're not out there on their own, sharing the gospel, fighting spiritual battles and human strength, but Christ is with them and with us by his Holy Spirit. So today, when we go out, we go in the authority as ministers, as servants of Jesus Christ, with a message of salvation to the world. I tell you, this message that we have is the most precious thing in the world. I was talking with a man. The Lord gave me an opportunity just a couple days ago to talk to a man at the car shop who's a Roman Catholic. And I told him, I said, if we gain the whole world and lose our soul, we've lost everything. We have to get this right. We have to get this correct. How are we saved? We need to know the Lord Jesus Christ and how we can be saved and have eternal life. We cannot make a mistake here. We need to study the Bible and find the answer. Well, so God sends us out with authority. We've been out sometimes knocking on doors. And when we go out doing things like that, or maybe go to a park or something, we're not just going in our own strength, but we're going with the authority of Jesus Christ, who calls and equips and sends his people to spread the message of the good news to others. This is a holy ministry that's invaluable to accomplish the will of God and bringing people to himself. So today, God sends us out also with not only authority, but with dependence upon Him. Jesus said in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we have to go out and talk to people, realizing that unless Christ is with us, unless the Holy Spirit is with us, not much is going to happen. We have to go out in prayer. You know, the Apostle Paul, he went out with nothing. And he says in Philippians 4, he says, he's writing to the Philippians, and he says, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. So the Apostle Paul was out there preaching the gospel around the Roman Empire. Sometimes he earned his own living by making tents. In this particular case, the Philippian church was supporting him. He was not independently wealthy. He either had to work or receive contributions from the churches. Adoniram Judson, have you ever heard of him? He was the first missionary to leave the shores of America. And he went to India to preach the gospel in India. He got married. And on the way to India, he was a Congregationalist. He studied the Greek New Testament, and he was convinced that believers' baptism by immersion was the biblical way to be baptized. And so when he landed in India, he had William Carey, a Baptist brother there, baptize him as a Baptist. But he lost all his support. He's got a young bride. He's out there on the mission field with no support because he switched denominations. So he really found out what it was like to be on the other side of the world with no support. Well, thankfully, some of the Baptists got together and they organized and began to send him some money so he could do his ministry. So sometimes we have to minister all the time. We really have to minister with dependence absolutely on God in many ways. Now, we also need to follow the example of these 12 disciples by not neglecting to give a warning of the judgment to come. Flee the wrath of God to come. There is the wrath of God that's coming. And people need to be warned to flee from it. Paul in Acts chapter 17 was speaking to the Athenians. And he said, God has raised his son from the dead and appointed him judge of all men. Therefore, all men and women must repent of their sins and believe in Christ. There's a judge. He's a human judge. He's been resurrected from the dead. And every person will meet him. Paul, when he was talking with Felix, the governor, in Acts 24, says he reasoned with Felix about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment. Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. Until I get an opportunity, I will summon you." So, the Apostle Paul included the coming judgment as part of his gospel message. And you know, that brings some perspective on things. It's not just people, well, maybe I'll accept the gospel, maybe I'll not. If I feel like it, I will or I won't. This brings the absolute urgency. You must believe the gospel. You must commit yourself to Jesus Christ if you hope to escape the judgment to come. Now, in the same way as the 12 disciples were sent out with a message, we too go out with a message. If we don't have a message, we don't have anything. We have to declare the truth of the gospel, that Christ died, well, he lived, He died, he rose, he was resurrected, he ascended, he's coming back. This is the essentials of the gospel. We must declare what God has done in human history. Now, you kids, for example, y'all are very blessed because you're raised in a Christian home where you've heard the Bible, the gospel, all your lives. I didn't have that growing up. But most people in the world don't have the advantage that you have. They're ignorant of the basics of the gospel. And so we have to go out and tell them what God has done. Well, even as these early disciples went out and power accompanied them, so Jesus grants power to us as people in this day. On those early disciples, Jesus told them in Luke 24:49, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city till you are clothed with power from on high. They needed to be clothed with power, the power of the Holy Spirit. The work of the gospel ministry needs supernatural power. When the day of Pentecost arrived, there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind that filled the entire house where the disciples were sitting. They saw tongues of fire come down upon their heads. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And Peter, who had denied knowing Jesus, was afraid for his own neck, right? He stood up, filled with the power of the Spirit, and proclaimed the gospel to the whole city. The power of the Holy Spirit is given to believers. Paul writes in Ephesians 1:19 about the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, this same kind of power that raised Jesus and brought him to heaven is the kind of power, the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in the lives of believers. Now, I read that. Sometimes I think, no, that can't really be true. That's what it says. The immeasurable, you cannot even measure the greatness of the power toward us. There is the power of the Spirit that is given to God's people for our lives and for our ministries. Those disciples began their ministry, their training, as Christ sent them out. In 2 or 3 years, he would be gone. They'd be on their own. But the kingdom of God still needed to spread throughout the world. And so they were in training. And they were being equipped by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was necessary that they be sent out. They couldn't just sit around Jerusalem twiddling their thumbs. They had to go out. And according to Christian tradition, they all went out. And all of them died as martyrs except John. Well, the situation is the same today. Just as it was necessary for the apostles to go out and tell the good news to the pagan Roman world, so it is necessary for us to go out and tell the good news to our nation and to this world, which is a world lost in idolatry and sin and religious ignorance. The people of the world are lost. They're lost. They're without hope. They're separated from the kingdom of God. There's only one hope for them, and that is that they learn the truths of the gospel. And God has ordained through his people to bring them the message. That's why we send messengers to these lost people. Otherwise, they have no hope. They're helpless, spiritually helpless. They may be rich financially, but they're spiritually helpless, and only Christ can set them free. They're ignorant of the way of salvation. They're ignorant of the greatness of the Savior. But we Christians know who Jesus is. We know what He's done. We know what He continues to do. We know what He will do. And so we need to tell them so that the Lord can use the message to awaken them spiritually and bring them to salvation. So, let's be available. Be available to be sent out. Even the great Apostle Paul said, pray for me, fellow Christians, that the Lord would open a door for me to proclaim the gospel boldly as I ought to proclaim it. Amen. He had to have prayer, right, of God's people to give him the courage and the boldness to share the gospel. We need prayer. So let's be sensitive and alert to the Holy Spirit, to whom He might want to send us to. It might be a friend in the neighborhood, somebody in our family. Might be a beggar standing outside the grocery store. So let's be sensitive to how the Lord may lead us and who He may send us to. Who do you think He would have you go to? So we need to be available. Jesus said the workers are few, but the harvest is great. It's a great harvest out there. It's white unto harvest, but there's not enough laborers. Jesus is calling men and women, boys and girls, to carry His message of salvation to the peoples of the earth. So let's be like the prophet Isaiah, who said, here I am, Yahweh, send me. Maybe we don't have great skills. Maybe we don't have great learning. But what we basically need is willingness and availability. To be a person, a vessel, willing to be used for Christ's gospel and the earth. There's no greater calling. And you're never too young to answer that call. Never too young. Never too old. So let's go out. Let's let the Holy Spirit send us out to tell the gospel. Confident that because He's called and commanded us to go out, that we go in His authority. Not in our puny human authority, but in the authority of the risen, glorified Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, dependent on His guidance, His power. We shouldn't neglect warning of the judgment to come. We need to give out the gospel message, which is the only hope for all humanity. The glorious gospel that Jesus was sent from the Father into the world so that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but will have eternal life. So brothers and sisters, we are in a race for the finish line. You know, in a mile or 1600 meter relay, you got four runners. Each one runs 400 meters. They have a baton, a little metal thing they pass on to the next runner. And so that baton has been passed on to you and me now. It's in our hands. It's our job to run with all of our might to the finish line for Christ's glory and for the salvation of His beloved and chosen people. So let's let the Lord send us out and use us as He would. Amen. Let's pray. Thank You, dear Father, that you did not leave your people mired and bogged down in the mud pit of our own sin and filth, but you sent your Son all the way from heaven on a divine rescue mission to take upon Himself our humanity completely like us, except no sin. He bore our guilt and punishment that we deserve. He won justification and righteousness for us. Now, Lord, we pray that you would send us out to carry this message, the only message that can save men and women from their sins, from hell, which is the message of Jesus Christ and His glorious gospel, that alone can bring them to joy in your everlasting kingdom. Lord, use us in your service unto this end, we pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.